listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are and wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. It's a pretty interesting thing, actually. Here we are, right at the beginning of the show, and I'm already getting email. And the reason I'm getting email is because you've noticed our website is not updated for today's show. And the reason it is not updated for today's show is quite simply that we had a lot of other fixes that had to be done to the website. And we had to prioritize, and that didn't make the list, okay? And it's we were not attacked. There was nothing like that. The hosting company changed some things, some internal rules about coding, how things have to be coded in order to work. And so some of the things that have been working stopped working, and we've been going through the site with a fine-tooth comb, recoding certain things to make them work. And so it was just kind of a low priority because of the fact that tonight, now had we a guest scheduled for tonight, then certainly we would have made that a high priority. But this is open line tonight. It's I can afford to not have my picture in that little slot. And that's the deal. The deal is we're open line. We're going to, hopefully tonight, focus on UFO disclosure and this acclimation project or program that appears to be underway. It appears that UFO information is beginning to run like a river now, and maybe it will become a raging river of information before too long. But I want us to focus on that a little bit, and there's some strange things, I think a little bit strange, having to do with NASA that we're going to talk about. And then a little bit later, we will open the lines so that we'll open the lines early, but we'll open it up to whatever topic is on your mind a little bit later. But I would like for us to sort of begin with focusing on this whole thing about UFO disclosure and what it really means for all of us, and do you think it's happening? Do you think it's begun? I sort of think it may well have begun, but we'll see. And let me say, if you have not yet subscribed to the K-Files e-zine, be sure you do that. The K-Files e-zine is our free weekly newsletter, and it's always got a lot of interesting links and articles in it, and a free download, and it's well worth the price. It's free. Actually, that makes it sound like it's not worth anything. But the point is, it's a good newsletter, and we've got lots and lots and lots of people subscribe to it, and you can be the next. Absolutely free. Just go to KevinSmithShow.com, click on the button that says K-Files E-Zine, or if you're looking at our player right now, just click on the button on the player there that says K-Files, and subscribe. We'll be back. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
All the night.
Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Did you know the Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcasts right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith Shows? All you have to do is visit our website at KevinSmithShow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download. Lots of stuff's happening, you know, in the world of UFOs. Not just a worldwide wave of sightings. That's going on. That's been going on for some time. But there's a lot of other stuff happening, and it's happening in high places. You remember February the 12th? Well, actually, it would have been February the 14th when I broke the story. Or when I don't guess I broke the story, but at least for our audience I did, that Dr. Michael Sala was reporting that there had been a secret meeting at the United Nations dealing with UFO disclosure. His report said that not only did the meeting deal with UFO disclosure, but it was decided at this meeting that there had to be a very rapid program, and at an ever-increasing pace, too, of acclimating the public to the reality of UFOs and extraterrestrials and extraterrestrial visitations on Earth. Well, almost immediately after I broke that story or presented it, Dr. Sala came under sort of a wave of negative statements, and I wouldn't really say attacks, but a wave of some pretty skeptical and negative statements. The UFO community, if you haven't realized this, eats its own. For whatever reason, I don't know, but they tend to eat their own. And so Dr. Sala got a lot of negative comments that were popping up on talk shows and in articles, calling into question the veracity of the report. And it sort of rocked him back on his heels and made him put him in a position of having to be a bit on the defense and support what he was saying and provide as much evidence as he could. You remember I did several shows. We had several shows here dealing with that subject of whether that meeting took place or not. And I came to the conclusion that there was more evidence that it did take place than there was evidence that it did not. And that a lot of the alleged evidence supporting that it did not take place was spurious evidence itself. Now, I came to that conclusion not because I want to believe, but simply based on the evidence that was presented. You remember the whole discussion about the French guy that the diplomat or UFO researcher or whatever he was who said that he had attended the follow-on meetings on February the 13th and 14th. And you remember that all of a sudden there were these reports that there was some discrepancy in his resume. And then on the basis of that, everything about this meeting was called into question. Everything about it. It just didn't happen because this guy had discrepancies in his resume. I mean, to me, that's sort of like you discover that George Washington had discrepancies in his resume, and so you say, well, the American Revolution just didn't happen. It's a fake. I mean, the two are just not connected. They simply are not connected. The fact that he may have had some discrepancies in his resume has absolutely nothing to do with whether this meeting took place or not. So you remember that whole discussion, right? But what's interesting about this, the debate has sort of raged on as to whether that meeting actually took place or not. But in the midst of that debate over whether that meeting took place, the agenda talked about at that meeting seems to have been put into place and is playing out. It seems, you know, the whole deal about acclimating the public, it seems like that has been put into place. It seems like that's underway. And so while they're debating over whether the meeting took place, the agenda of the meeting is apparently happening. I'm going to get into some of the details of that and why I say that in just a moment. First, let's go to the phone. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, hello. It's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, first caller again.
Yep.
I know tonight that I know I'd like to talk about J.C. Webster, but of course this is the wrong show. So I'm going to talk about something a little similar. That's about the Vatican and the statement that they've released recently.
All right.
Yeah, I think the Vatican saying that it's okay to believe in extraterrestrials, I think that's actually a big, beginning towards full disclosure. I think that's exactly what it smells about.
Well, and that's what this show is about tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, well, I think the reason why they're starting to say that, I think it's because once we do have, flat-out public first contact, that the religious types, especially the very pious Catholics, because I was raised Catholic, I know how some of them feel about extraterrestrial life and whatnot, and they're trying to, they don't want people to start, to call them devils and start attacking them, you know, because that's what, when I was raised Catholic and I brought up the alien issue with my mom's side of the family, they'd say, well, if there are ETs, they're devils, like they're from Satan, like they're not God, we're God's children, they're not. And I think the Catholic Church coming out with saying that, embrace our space brothers. I think they're trying to condition the people not to fear extraterrestrials, that they're, in their eyes, they're children of God as well.
Well, this whole thing about we're God's children, they're not, that's sort of what's been behind most of the problems and wars on this planet, where you have a group of people saying, hey, we're God's children, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And another group says, oh, really? Well, we're God's children, you're not. And so we go to fight and go to war. And I figure those folks, probably don't even know God.
So I wonder what types like J.C. would...
Don't even bring up J.C. He's not even part of this. I don't even know J.C., don't even care about J.C.
Okay, well, but like, back to the Vatican there.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to condition people not to fear extraterrestrials once they do make flat-out first contact.
Well, yeah, and, they're clearing the way. Look, there are a whole lot of people in the UFO research field and investigation field whose background is Roman Catholic. And you can tell from the statements of this Father Funes, I guess that's how it's pronounced, or maybe it's Funes, I don't know, F-U-N-E-S. But you can tell by his statements, at least I get this, that they're trying to get people not to fear the past actions of the Roman Catholic Church, i.e. Galileo.
Yeah, I'm a medieval enthusiast, and I know what the Catholic Church did way back in the day, so...
Yeah, look, by the way, they're famous for that. They're famous for the Inquisition. But there's a whole lot of Protestant denominations that engaged in similar activities.
Yeah.
They just didn't get as famous. But the deal with Galileo, he said, you know what? Guys, look, I discovered that the Earth is orbiting the sun. It's not the other way around.
He rediscovered it. I think we knew that a long time ago.
Yeah, well, Copernicus, of course, was also involved. He discovered that. But when Galileo said that, they threatened to kill him.
Mm-hmm, and he had to retract it.
And he had to retract the statement. But, I've brought this up before. It doesn't matter what you believe, reality is reality, and it stands there and stares you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, the Catholic Church had to admit, hey, you know what? We're orbiting the sun. And because reality is reality. So when you look at this statement that came out, as this guy, he's the head of the Vatican Observatory. And he said, it's okay to believe in extraterrestrials. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. If they're out there, they're God's children just like us. And, hey, it's all right,
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he said that, he also brought up Galileo.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I think it's time for us to move past Galileo.
Yep.
Okay, so I sort of think that what's going on there is an attempt to reach out and say to Catholics who have already gotten beyond wondering if extraterrestrials are out there, and they're already saying, look, the evidence is in and they exist.
Yep.
He's sort of reaching out to them and saying, don't worry about this Galileo thing. That's not going to happen again.
So anyway, I'd like to just a quick touch on the NASA conference from yesterday, just to think what my theory was about why it ended up being such a boring thing. Mm-hmm. I think they were actually going to come up with something groundbreaking, like saying, yes, we found the 10th planet, or we found like something artificial flying in space. And I think at the last minute they decided to change their minds and they went to something like that, because they were hyped it for over a week that there's going to be something big that they're going to come up with. And I don't think a supernova is anything worth a week's worth of hype. And I think they
is a miniature supernova as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I think they were going to come. I think they originally planned to come up with something big, and they changed their mind, saying, "You know what? Maybe it's not the best time to come up with this information. We'll wait a little bit longer."
And well, you know, I've gotten Kevin. I've gotten several emails like that.
Yeah.
Over the past 24 hours, I've gotten several emails that intimate the same sentiments.
Yeah.
You know, it's very, very possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kev, let's give room for some other callers, and have yourself a great night.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
Well, those are the very two subjects that I was going to bring up, and I'm glad he brought them up. We're talking about this whole thing about UFO disclosure and acclimation of the public. I'm not so sure this is acclimation of the public, you know, getting the public acclimated to the idea. I'm not so sure that's what this is. I'll tell you what I think it is in just a few minutes. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
It's Doug from Ontario, Canada, just south of Kev, that crazy guy.
What's on your mind?
Yeah, Kevin, you know, I've got a theory on this whole ball of wax here with regards to the Vatican coming out. Not so much on the British coming out with their stuff there, because it's all gobbledygook. But with regards to this here, the supernova, you notice how they're saying it's expanding. Well, wouldn't something that's sneaking up on our rear end that we have a hard time detecting not seem like it's expanding if it's getting closer? Now, if we look back in the Sumerian times, we are told of this body that seems to have wings of some sort that sweep around the side, similar to a comet. Now, if you take a look at the picture that has been provided from NASA, it's in great detail, which means they didn't just come across this yesterday. All right?
All right.
Now, when you look at this here picture, we see a similar description with regards to the wings coming around the side of this comet coming through whatever, right? Now, what if, when that thing gets closer to the sun, there's volcanic eruptions on that thing, instead of it looking like now, which is encircled with flame and whatnot, that the volcanic eruptions on that put so much dust in the atmosphere that it gives that description that was given to us by the Sumerians, that it had, like, wings. It didn't say that they were wings of fire. What they did say, though, that it was enshrouded in a cloud, and it was very hard to see, and that's why they called it a brown dwarf star, correct?
Well, yeah. Yeah,
now,
I follow you.
This is where I'm going with this. We have been told about Nibiru. We have been told that the Anunnaki came down, they created what we are now as mankind out of whatever they did back in those days. Now, what if Nibiru is actually a planet that is in a orbit around this supernova, which now they're bringing out to us to say, hey, listen, folks, this thing is just something we just found. But hey, it's getting bigger, and we can't understand why. Well, hey, listen, it's been told by the Mayans that this thing's going to happen in 2012. It's been told by the Colburn Bible that we're going to be able to see this thing in the next year. What if this is it?
Well, I got an email like that yesterday, Doug, and I briefly mentioned it on the show. My understanding of the email, it was a little difficult to understand it all, but my understanding was it was the writer's position that what this situation is that NASA has announced kind of goes like this. The scenario was, in the email, that Nibiru is real. There's no longer any way to hide it. It's going to become visible really soon. And so they did this supernova story as a cover, because once it begins to be visible, they can say, oh, yeah, well, you know, we told you about that. It's that supernova.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they can say, well, our equipment couldn't detect it, probably because of the clouds that are encompassing it, not reflecting the proper infrared, blah, 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 like they have done for 50 years and more, deceiving the public.
Well, yeah, but yeah. Look, let's assume that that's the correct scenario.
Yep.
Okay, let's assume that that is correct, and of course it's all hypothetical. But let's assume it's correct. You also have this, and to, you know, I have to kind of sort of step to their defense here. There are so many very wild stories about what's coming in 2012, and they may all be true, but they it may be that none of them are true. But there are so many wild stories that are really extreme, and there are so many people who are interested in it and wrapped up in it, that if they just came out and said, well, guess what? You know that Nibiru thing? We found it. If they did that, there would be a lot of people that would run to those extreme stories and say, oh, my God, this is true, and this is coming, and they could create panic.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I know that they're handling it in the best way that they can. And unfortunately, they should have handled it back 50 years ago with discovery of crashed UFOs and whatnot, and probably prior information that they had in regards to, you know, UFOs that they had come across. But the thing is here, the public is being duped again. This is what I see. If you look at that picture, my friend, that is an exact description of what Planet X was described to us, or the Destroyer, or you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't seen a picture of it.
Oh, you haven't? Well,
no.
Let me flash it to you, okay?
Yep. Well, right. Just, yeah, send me the link to it.
Yeah, I will do. All right?
All right, I appreciate it.
Okay, I'm going to let the line go for somebody else. Kevin, it's been great talking to you.
All right,
I'm going fishing, buddy. I'm going to be gone for the long weekend. I'm going to catch you a big one.
All right, I appreciate it. Either catch me a big one or come back and tell me a big one.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call. Yeah, you know, it's interesting as these stories come out. See, NASA built this up. NASA really built this up, and they put a notice on the on their website that they were going to have this press conference. It was going to be a big deal. They were going to announce something they'd been looking for 50 years, and they had found it. And reporters who wanted to be a part of the press conference had to call a certain number so they could get in on a teleconference. And it was a big, big deal. And then, oh, yeah, well, we found this supernova. You see, I mean, it was like a complete deflation. And one email said, you know, I think the deal is they were going to announce that they had found Planet X, and at the last minute changed their minds. I think Kevin mentioned that. And then the other scenario that I've been getting in the email is the one we just talked about, that it is Planet X, it is Nibiru, and they're using this as sort of a way to ease us into that, because it's pretty soon going to become visible to us. And both of those scenarios may be completely off base. You've got to understand that. They may be completely off base. On the other hand, one of those scenarios may be real, may be the truth. Something else may be the truth, and you may have an opinion about that. We have a break that's coming up here in about 20 seconds, and I'm going to take your calls on the other side of the break. So if you're calling trying to get through right now, you won't be able to. But if you'll try right after the break, then the phone lines will be open again. The telephone number is 1-800-289-1092, 1-800-289-1092, and we'll open that back up for your calls right after this break.
Georgia, you're really one of a kind. Well, I know you drive me out of my mind. But you just wink and flash that innocent smile that laughs. Keeps me coming right back. Georgia, you don't leave one shred of doubt. Well, in all my days, I'll never figure you out. Well, I'm second, triple guessing, stumbling around the place. Falling flat on my face. You've got me running this way and that. You work more magic than the cat in the hat. Dr. Seuss ain't got nothing on you. What else can I say? Fun, a supernova, a burning sun. I just want to stand in your light. Without your love, I just don't feel right. I'm so confused, but I still feel right at home. When all's said and done, there's no place that I'd rather be.
And we are back. Let's go straight to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Dick from Lebanon, Indiana.
How you doing, Dick?
Just fine. I'm glad you brought this topic up tonight. I got a couple things I want to share with you.
All right.
And share with the listeners here. As I had told you before, we did get that package from Mexico, but it was empty. And you and I discussed that, and there was a couple emails that I got, and I wanted to clear that up right off the bat.
Okay.
The next thing you might be interested in, I have another source. Actually, the naval commander told me this, and then I had another source who was a Dan Quayle aide who has been with me for, probably about 24, 25 years. And I put the email out talking about this thing from NASA, the announcement and everything, and he listened to it. And there were some pretty nasty things that he said that I won't repeat. He said they know better, they know something's coming, and he said this whole thing is just a smoke screen for what's to come. And he told me they know that there's something big out there. So that was his comment, and he said shame on them. And then we went to the naval commander, and the naval commander said, well, he says, I can't repeat what I want to say, but he said shame on them.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, really, when you look at this thing, and I'm not defending them just for the sake of defending them, but when you look at this thing, let's say it is Nibiru or Planet X, the destroyer, as it's been called in other ancient texts. Let's say that's what it is. And let's say they know that. If they were to come out and say, well, you know, you've heard about that Zachariah Sitchin guy and Nibiru, and you've read about the Egyptians calling it the destroyer, and, well, it's coming. Now, if they did that, that would create panic. It really would.
Yeah, but if you don't say it and it comes, then you're criticized for that too. So.
Well, yeah, they're damned if they do and damned if they don't. But you know, it could be that they have a planned. It could be that they're going to sort of squeeze the juice from the grapefruit slowly here, and sort of a planned release where they say, "Hey, you know what? Remember that supernova we told you about? Well, it appears that it's not getting bigger, but it's getting closer."
Yeah, but why would you say that you've been watching it for 50 years? And I mean, basically, you didn't say anything. You had four screwball calls that come in there, and they just it looked like they was almost trumped up calls. I listened to the commentation on it, and it was like it was kind of mapped out. You know, I mean, they didn't even have any callers that had any substance to it.
Well, that may be part of the plan.
Well.
Now, I'm not saying that they're handling it right. I'm just saying I could understand, if that's what they're doing, I could understand their reasoning. Not necessarily that I agree it should be handled that way, but I understand that reasoning, if that's what's going on. Because, Dick, you know, I mean, you've been around as long as I have, and maybe a little bit longer. You know that not everyone that you run into is capable of thinking beyond marbles and jacks.
Well, that's true. That's true. But I'm going to tell you tonight that I have found out a way that I'm going to turn the wick up on them a little bit. And all I can tell you is, you best buckle your seatbelts, because I've been talking to some heavy hitters, and I think a lot of things are going to come out of this.
Out of this press conference?
No. I think that they have, in the circles that I talk, the people are just fed up with NASA. Well, Dick Hoagland said the other night that he's getting ready to say, why in the heck do we need NASA? And he's going to bring out some pretty stunning details, even more than he did in his last DVD. So I think people better hold on, because I think the hand is going to be forced before long, and that's about all I can say about that.
Okay, well, we'll watch with interest and listen with interest.
Okay.
Man, thanks for the call. You always bring us something to get us out on the edge of the seat.
Well, I try to bring a little levity to you. You know, if nothing else, I might make your day.
Yeah, well, you know, I have levity every day. First thing, when I wake up, I go in, wash my face, and look in the mirror, and just die laughing.
Oh, okay. All righty.
Thanks for the call. All right, 1-800-289-1092, 1-800-289-1092. It seems like that, you know, there are a lot of folks who are not buying NASA's account, NASA's story about this supernova. Apparently, this was a small star that supernovaed, I believe they said, in 1860. And I can't imagine why they would have been looking for this for the last 50 years. I mean, that's a bit of a mystery to me. Why would you be looking for it for the past 50 years? A supernova is fairly visible. And, you know, I don't know. It seems that a lot of folks are not buying the story. How about you? Are you buying the story? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, it's Larry in California. How you doing?
Doing fine, Larry.
That story, the actual wordage that they put as the discovery object. Well, the supernova is an event, and it's not an object.
Yeah.
So they had to change their story.
Okay.
And they're not dumb enough to go out and word something one way and say it another way. I think they worded it exactly what their intentions were, and that was to tell of an object, but they were forced not to. And it was a test, just to see how many people were curious and interested, to see if people really were paying attention.
I had not considered that. It could be a test to see how many people catch on to the fact that the story wasn't matching the press release.
Yeah, all I know is they're going to talk about an object, and supernova is an event and not an object.
All right, now if this thing is expanding, we had a previous caller that said, you know, if it's getting closer, it would have the appearance of expanding.
Right, but is not a supernova a massive explosion?
Yes, it is.
And it's not an object. Now it is an event that they're being able to observe.
I can't understand why they would have been looking for a supernova for 50 years.
Right.
I think that would be fairly visible.
Now, what'd they say? What was it, like 26 million light years or something like that away?
Mm-hmm.
Who cares?
Here's another thing. If it's let's say it's 26 million light years away. Now think about this. If it's 26 million light years away and the supernova happened 140 years ago, we're not going to see it yet. It takes 26 million years for that light to get to us.
Yeah, I forget how far it was away, but it was some ridiculous number that, you know, I guess people that are into astronomy, okay, but...
Well, now, if it was 26 light years away, if it was 26, then it would have gotten to us, yes. But if it's 26 million...
Yeah, all right, I'll let you get back to your guess. I just want to point out the fact that we're looking for an object. We're going to talk about an object rather than an event.
All right, it's a good point. Thanks for the call. Yeah, good point. They did say we're going to announce that we have found an object that we have been looking for the past 50 years. Now, keep in mind that in 1983, the IRIS satellite, I-R-A-S, IRIS satellite, which was infrared, the chief scientist for that made a statement to the press that we have discovered something out there. We don't know what it is, but it is huge. And then after that, it all went quiet. Nobody said anything about it again. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin.
Hello.
This is Tony from Oklahoma.
Hello, Tony.
How are you, sir?
Doing very well, Tony.
Oh, glad to hear that. This thing with the announcement from NASA, it sure makes you wonder. Like everybody's been saying so far, they've been looking at this for 50 years? What? Come on. Why didn't... It doesn't make any sense.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Let's say, now they said they were going to announce that they had found an object that they had been looking for 50 years, right?
Yeah.
All right. Now, how would you be looking for a supernova for 50 years? Because you wouldn't know about it.
Well, they're always looking for that.
Yeah, but the deal is, it's an object.
It's not something that they would be looking for 50 years. That's something from what I understand, they're always looking to to observe a supernova.
Yeah, but you don't look for 50 years. It happens when it happens. Hey, we're into a break. I'm going to have to run. Thank you for the call, man. You want to hold on during the break?
Yeah, sure.
All right. All right, we'll be back, folks, right after this. Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com. And we are back. Tony is holding, and we'll get to you in just a moment, Tony. Let me remind all of you, if you have not yet subscribed to the K-Files e-zine, be sure you do. It's absolutely free. It comes out each week, and it's always got good stuff in it, all right? All right, Tony, you still with us?
I am.
All right. Follow me on this for a moment.
Certainly.
Down at NASA or in all of these observatories around the world, There's not a supernova alarm. Okay, by that I mean there's not a system that's just sitting there monitoring the universe, and when a supernova happens, the alarm goes off. So the only way they can know that there's a supernova is accidentally they see it happen.
Exactly.
So that doesn't jive with we've been looking for this for 50 years. The only way they would have known there was a supernova is that they saw it. And if they saw it, they knew where it was. So they wouldn't be looking for it for 50 years. That's bunk.
Oh, I agree 100%. And the other thing is that from what little I know, I believe that everyone, not only NASA, but every astronomer or whatever is looking for supernovas. So that it just doesn't jibe that they were looking for this for 50 years. But what you said at the beginning about the UN thing and all that, things to me just sound like they're adding up to something's gonna break.
Well, it sounds
about to break.
Yeah, it sounds to me like the whole acclimation program that was discussed at this alleged meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's underway, and
exactly.
That pretty much confirms the meeting is not alleged.
I agree. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, listen, man, I appreciate the call.
Anytime. Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Bye, bye. But now look, what was talked about in that alleged meeting was to acclimate the public to the reality of extraterrestrials and so forth. I'll tell you what it seems to me, in at least for the industrialized Western countries, it's the public is so far out in front of the officials on this thing. I mean, the public already knows is way past where the officials are standing. And so this is more of acclimating officials into admitting the truth and running behind the public saying, wait for me, I'm your leader. It's acclimating them to that more than it is acclimating the public to extraterrestrial realities. Maybe I'm not reading that properly. Maybe that's not the way this is going, but that's the way it looks to me. And, you know, I've said it before. I've said, look, the public has run past the official stance. I mean, you know, they're still standing behind the public back there saying, hey, wait a minute. It really was weather balloons. Yeah, well, hang on. It really was flares. And the public has just run past them. Now they're trying to catch up. So it's more of an acclimation program to get officials used to admitting the truth. And then for some people in some parts of the world, it is an acclimation program to get them acclimated to facts about extraterrestrials and the possibilities and so forth. But I'm interested in what you think about this thing. See, you have the Vatican coming out and saying, okay, it's all right for Catholics to believe in extraterrestrials. It's okay. Because if they are there, they are our extraterrestrial brothers. They are part of God's creation. And so it's okay. One of the interesting things about that statement, and I mentioned it, but one of the interesting things about that statement from the Vatican, and this was an interview with a Roman newspaper, all right? This was an interview between the newspaper and the head of the Vatican Observatory. And he said, you know, it's time for us to just get past this Galileo incident because, you know, that caused a lot of wounds. Well, yeah, it did. It caused a whole lot of wounds. It made people afraid to say what they knew to be the truth. Galileo knew that it was true that the Earth was in orbit around the sun, as were the other planets. But they threatened to kill him. And that put a real chill on science. And so here you've got the Vatican now saying it's time to get past all of that. What they're saying is, hey, we're not going to persecute you for saying that you have contact with extraterrestrials. That's what they're saying. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, this is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, Kevin?
Outstanding.
Hey, I love your train of thought and the caller's thought on, you know, the supernova being actually part of the scenario. And what I think with them even having to say that is now then they have a location, right?
Yeah.
They would have to be able to, there's some people out there, smart people, that should be able to figure out now if they train all their telescopes on this stuff and we start actually looking at it, are we going to be able to pick it apart before they tell us what's actually going on there now?
Here's what I think the deal is. This is the Chandra X-ray telescope. So I think that whatever it is far enough out there that you can't see it with a naked eye telescope, an optical telescope.
Gotcha.
But I think that, you know, the little clue that it seems to be expanding, the little clue there is it's coming.
Yeah.
And you're going to be noticing it soon. So we're going to go ahead and break the story and tell you it's a supernova. I don't think it can be seen yet with an optical telescope because of the fact that this was the Chandra that they used.
Yep. Would its location now be able to correlate with any previous assumptions of how Planet X was going to come into our solar system?
Well, yeah, I think that's valid. I think, you know, once other astronomers know the location, we ought to be able to see if that tracks with the information that we have that it's coming from the South Pole region. But I don't know. I don't know what its location is yet.
It's just so interesting. There's so much stuff going on in the world right now, Kevin. It's almost interesting and scary at the same time, you know, with everything just kind of clicking the way it is.
You ever been surfing?
What's that?
Have you ever been surfing?
No, sir, but I will eventually want to get out there and try that for sure.
It's interesting and scary all at the same time. It's a lot of fun, but it's scary all at the same time. And that's kind of how this is. I think we're sort of surfing our way through the galaxy and through the universe, and exciting times are ahead.
Exactly. Well, it goes perfect with your analogy about grabbing your board and just getting ready for the wave. And,
that's it, man.
I've kind of taken that to heart.
Yeah.
Well, you have a great night, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. All right, we have a break coming up here in about a minute and 20 seconds. And so I'll hold the phones until after the break. But it is open line in that, you know, I want to hear from you. I want to know what you think about. See, I think that what's happened here is that a major crack in the dam has taken place. And this acclimation program trying to get the public used to UFOs and get the public used to extraterrestrials and extraterrestrial presence, I think there's a crack in the dam, and that program is underway. It appears to be. I think the big signal comes from this Vatican statement. And there was allegedly a representative from the Vatican at that meeting. So here's a big, giant step forward saying it's all right. Catholics can believe in extraterrestrials, and that's not in conflict with a belief in God. So that's a big, big step forward whether it's a planned acclimation program or whether it's coincidental. It still serves the purpose of acclimating us to the concept. I think it's not accidental. I don't think it's coincidental. I think the program is underway, and we're watching it happen. We will be back on the other side of this break, more with your calls and your thoughts about the world we're living in.
window pane, light up a lonely bed that I've made. Shadows dancing in the middle of the light. Only hope for love is through a telephone line. Well, won't you listen to the rain? Black crow's eye, and always a stare as an angel rolls by. Thanking all his days with a pistol in his hand. Nothing much to show except the blisters on his aching hand.
Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
We are back, and we're talking about this sort of a weird press conference that NASA did. And also a very enlightening press conference or interview that a Vatican representative did. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. All right. 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call. And, you know, I think that... when both of these press events are pretty revealing. The first one is with a Vatican representative, Father Funes, F-U-N-E-S, and that was done with a newspaper in Rome. The other one is this weird press conference that NASA did, and in the one with the Vatican representative, what's revealing about it is that it reveals that the Vatican is not going to take a hostile position toward people who are involved with UFOs and extraterrestrials. And I think that's fabulous. But you got to read that and understand what's being said. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hi, this is Sean from Pittsburgh, PA.
Hey, Sean. Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am. Where's the applause?
All right, here they come. All right, there's your applause.
Hey, I love the show, first off. I've been listening to it for a while on online during the day for during work. It's great, so... I applaud your work there.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
so, but I just got on here online, listened to you online right now, and I believe that the religion thing here, the Vatican stuff, is very important. That, like you said, I believe them just saying that is like almost an admission, but it's like almost covering themselves, I believe, a little bit. To people who were to say they had no, if people were to go to them to say, like the blaming them possibly for not telling people what would be coming or something, if this Nibiru thing were to happen at all. I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I can see that. In other words, what you're saying is that they can say, well, you know, we said it was okay to, you know, to believe all of that, and for people to investigate it. We're not opposed to that. We're with you.
Yeah, I believe, and especially since religion around the world is can be a very harsh subject, and people's emotions can run very high with that. I think it's maybe just covering themselves, and then I think it's more of a disclosure type of thing, possibly working with other government factions all over the world or whatever, whatnot.
One of the things that people need to remember at this juncture is that the Vatican is not the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church is an ecclesiastical organization. The Vatican is a state, and the Vatican has representatives ambassadors, if you will, to nations. It is a state.
Okay.
And so, but the two are together, okay? They are two separate entities officially, but they function together. And so when we say the Vatican this and the Vatican that, you're talking about the official state known as the Vatican. And in that case, its monarch is the Pope. When you're talking about the Roman Catholic Church, you're talking about theologians, and you're talking about biblical things, and you're talking about people's religious beliefs and practices. And the head of the church is the same guy, the Pope. But the Vatican is a state, and they had a representative in that meeting on February the 12th, in that so-called alleged meeting on February the 12th. So here we are from February until May, February the 12th until May, 13th? That's when the statement came out, I think, was the 12th or 13th of May. And all of a sudden, here is one of the most visible and powerful and yet one of the smallest states on the planet, but taking an official state position that it's okay.
I also agree with the earlier caller, how he said what their original statement was of NASA's about an object, like you said, searching for 50 years, and a supernova happened over 200 million light years ago. But I think somebody slipped up in saying the object for 50 years, and they come out with a supernova. Isn't a supernova, like that guy said, an event of an object? The object's not even there anymore.
Yeah, and well, that's true. And here's another thing: why would you look? Why would you even know to look for a supernova?
Exactly. I mean, they happen out there. I mean, it's known. We've seen them before through shots and everything, so it's not that great of an event, unless it were to be our sun, actually.
Yeah, we might know about that one a little sooner.
A little sooner than, I think right on the spot they would. But an object looking for 50 years, nobody's looking for a supernova, like you said, for 50 years.
No, you're not looking for a supernova ever.
Yeah.
Because you don't even know it happened until you see it. Okay, and then you're not looking for it, you're looking at it.
Yeah, exactly, and I don't think they've been looking for just 50 years. I think they've known for more than that of what's coming, if something were to come, which I'd have to see with my own eyes. But looking at different photos and stuff online, you can't really even trust what you see online at all either.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But, if the ancient Sumerian stories are correct and the Egyptian stories, we'll see it with the naked eye soon enough.
Yes, a lot of people say so. Well, I appreciate talking with you and hope to talk to you again, and you have a great night.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Interesting observations. You catch that, don't you? You understand that you would not be looking for a supernova because you would not even know it had happened until you see it. When you see it, you're not looking for it. You're looking at it. A supernova is going to catch an astronomer by surprise. It's not like they get invitations that say, on a certain night, at a certain time, if you look at this certain location, you're invited to watch a supernova. They don't know when it's going to happen. They're just scanning the skies and happen to see one. But then they're not looking for it. They're looking at it. So, there's a real problem here in the NASA statement. Maybe on purpose, I don't know. But, I mean, the problem is, they tell us that they found an object they've been looking for 50 years, and then they tell us it's a supernova. Can't be. I don't know. But I certainly see no possibility of that being factual. So what do you think about that? And what do you think about this whole acclimation program that was spoken of at this meeting? Is it going on? I mean, look, you've got France last year said, here's the deal. We're going to put all our UFO files right out there on the Internet so people can look at them. All right. So they put them out there on the Internet. There were so many hits to their website that within hours it was closed down. I mean, it just overloaded. Then you've got, of course, Brazil. Before that, Brazil released some UFO files and information to UFO investigators. You've got a general, I think he's down in Peru, who has said, okay, it's time for people to be told everything about UFOs. It's time to stop hiding the truth. You've got the UK that has come out now and has said, okay, we're going to release all of our files. Already released some. We're going to release them all. All our files about UFOs. And now, after this meeting, the Vatican steps forward and sort of puts a moral blessing on the whole subject of extraterrestrials and says it's okay. You should not hate or fear extraterrestrials. It's okay, because if they're out there, they're part of God's creation too. And by the way, that whole deal with Galileo, don't worry about that. We're not going to do that again. I think that's pretty revealing. I really do. I think that is very, very revealing. What's interesting to watch is that there is also a strain or a faction that don't want this stuff out and that are still spinning out cover stories for things that people know they see. They know what they're looking at. They know it's not an airplane. It's not flares. It's not a weather balloon. And it's not a duck that got lost in the radar. And yet the cover story comes out. Why? All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
This is Henry from Birmingham, Kevin.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good tonight. Been listening to you for a long time. First time to call in.
Well, I'll tell you what. I appreciate you calling in, and here's your applause.
Thank you. Okay. Could this be the source of our global warming or solar system warming we've got going on now?
I don't know if it's a source, but it certainly could be a contributing factor.
You know, even if it was a supernova, all that stuff blowing off of it just now getting to us could be warming up the solar system and perturbing our sun.
Yeah, It could. Yeah. Something is putting a heck of a lot of pressure on our solar system. Did you know that solar warming on Mars is happening 4 times faster than it is on Earth?
That's right. And it's closer to whatever the source is than we are.
Yeah.
And another thing, you know, when that report come out about the UN meeting, did you hear that NBC run a Roswell report on Today Show that weekend after that came out?
No.
And it wasn't a ha-ha piece, neither. It was Lester Holt, one of their main anchors. And, you know, they're doing a Crystal Skull show this weekend on Sci-Fi, this NBC station.
That's right. Now, if you caught the show last night, did you hear the show last night with Jerry Wills?
Yes, I did.
Well, he mentioned, and both of us mentioned, Joshua Shapiro. And after I got off of the air, I went through all my email one last time for the evening, and I had an email from Joshua Shapiro, who was also listening to the show. And he said, I tried to call in, but the lines were jammed up, and I couldn't get in. He's supposed to be in that sci-fi documentary about the Crystal Skulls, and so it'll be well worth watching.
And Richard Hoagland's in it, too, I believe.
Okay. Well, it'll be well worth watching.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about, if I can, the other night when you had Farrell and Hoagland on.
Yeah.
Okay. They were talking about the cosmic war and all this kind of stuff. Have you ever read the book by Whitley Strieber, The Key?
No.
Okay, it was written about 5 years ago before all this stuff came out that they were talking about. And you need to talk to him about it because he allegedly has talked to a man. It was a question and answer series, and he told him about the war and the past civilization of millions of years ago that was on Earth, and that we lost the war, that we started it.
Yeah, that would not surprise me.
It was, we started it, and as a result, we were not back to where we are today. In other words, we were more far advanced than we are.
That I have no problem believing that at all.
And so when he said that planet blew up and blew the atmosphere off Mars, that is exactly word for word almost from that book. It's a small book. You ought to get it and read it. It'll take you about 2 hours to go through it.
All right, and what's the name of the book?
The Key.
The Key.
Uh-huh, you can just get it through there. I think it's out of print now. You can just get it through Unknown Country.
Okay.
And it's a real interesting read. You won't be able to put it down, and you'll probably wind up like I did, rereading it about 4 or 5 times because you get a lot more out of it than every time you read it.
All right. So I appreciate it, man.
But that goes right along with the with what Hoagland and Farrell were talking about the other night, and it came out, I'd say, 5 or 6 years before they started their stuff.
All right. I'll check it out.
All right.
Thank you much.
Thank you, Kevin.
And thanks for the call. Don't be a stranger.
I sure won't.
Bye. All right. Well, that's cool. We've had a couple of first-time callers tonight, and that's cool. I like all callers, but first-time callers are kind of exciting. Well, I have received from, remember our caller Doug from Canada? I've received the link for a photo of this alleged supernova. And, you know, he said it looks just like what's been described about Nibiru or the Destroyer. Yeah, it does. It looks like the descriptions of it. And I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Now, they say that it's estimated to be 140 years old, this so-called supernova. And Let's see what it says here. The thing happened about 140 years ago. It's at least 200 years younger than the next oldest known supernova, which is Cassiopeia A, discovered in the 17th century A.D. And it says here, if it weren't so obscured by dust, people in the late 1800s would likely have seen this supernova. And so, it says the brightness of supernova remnants can easily be obscured from optical telescopes by gas and dust, but are usually visible to X-ray and radio telescopes. So that's that fits with what I was saying about optical telescopes maybe not able to see it yet. But if this thing is Planet X, if that's what it is, folks are going to be able to see it. If it is Planet X, if it is Nibiru, they are going to be able to see it with a naked eye in time, if those stories are correct from the Sumerians. Now, I really want to know your opinion. You know, I'm trying to dissect what's going on here. We've got a couple of events in the press that don't seem really to go hand in hand, but I think they do. You've got the Vatican saying to Catholics, folks, it's okay if you want to believe in extraterrestrials. That's all right. You know, it seems fairly likely that they're out there. And yeah, if you want to think they're out there, that's okay. And doesn't contradict any belief in God. And by the way, that little incident we had with Galileo, that's not going to happen again. So you've got that, and then you've got NASA saying, big, big news, folks, big news. We found an object we've been looking for 50 years. We found it, and we're going to be telling you about it, and then they come up with this supernova thing. I think these kind of go hand in glove. I think both of these stories may be the beginnings of this acclimation program. I think it could be. And, you know, should NASA, let's say this is Planet X, let's say it's Nibiru. I'm just speculating. It's just purely hypothetical. I hope you understand that. But let's say that's what it is, all right? Now, if that's what it is, then do you think NASA should have just come out and said that's what it is? I mean, I really want to know that. I really want to know what you think about that. Should NASA, if this thing is Planet X, if it is Nibiru, and if it is incoming, do you think that NASA should have just said that? Or do you think that they took the... do you think they took a wiser course to give it to us in phases, and the first phase is it's a supernova? If they were to, how would you react if they said it's Nibiru? How would you react if NASA had said that? I think that may be the best test here. Instead of, you know, just our opinion of how should they do it, how would you react if that was it? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, it's Louie from Connecticut.
Hi, Louie.
I got one thing to say, Kevin.
Tell me.
Whatever they all the NASA, the Vatican, all these countries, I got the funny feeling the powers that be are getting ready to run.
Why do you think they're getting ready to run?
Because they let the little man know first. Right? Because now, what about the Vatican made that statement? What about other religions? Now, how are they going to feel about it? So I think it's a warning. So I think all the powers of the beast are getting ready to run on the ground. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Well, don't go yet. I got a question. Where are they going to run to?
Oh, they probably got tickets better get ready to go on the ground.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, I think they have the powers that be already got the ticket. That's why a few weeks ago they made that statement about the seeds. They got all the seeds ready to go for in case of the world comes to an end.
All right.
Maybe they're taking the seeds on the ground with them.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think
it may be time for us to all go out and invest in a shovel so we can dig, huh?
Yeah, so they let the little man know so the rich people can go run.
All right.
That's what I got
man,
to say.
I hope you're wrong.
I hope I'm wrong, too, but I think that's what's coming down. They're letting us know.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Yes, sir. Have a good evening, Kevin.
All right. Well, I hadn't even thought about that. What about that, huh? How would you react? How would you react if NASA had come out yesterday with their press conference and said, okay, we've been looking for this for 50 years. We found it. It's Planet X or Nibiru. It is incoming, and bye. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, this is Kevin from Tyler, Texas.
Hi, Kevin.
This whole deal about the supernova,
yeah,
they've been looking for it for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Are you somehow inferring that if they've been looking for it for 50 years, somebody had to have told them what to look for and where to look for it?
Yeah, you don't know about a supernova till it happens.
Well, that's the only way that you find out about it is like, oh, look, there's a bright light in the sky. It's
right.
Supernova. But
and then you're not looking for it, you're looking at it.
Right. Well, and it's something that happened in the 1860s.
Yeah.
So it took 140-some years for it to get here. Now, if they've been looking for it for 50 years, who told them where to look?
That's right. Good point.
Somebody, if they've been looking for it for 50 years and they knew where to look, and they were looking specifically in this area for a supernova, who told them to look there?
So do you think it was some extraterrestrial contact?
Well, I don't know. That's my point is, who told them where to look?
If it is in fact a supernova, then
right.
That question really needs to be examined. Who told them where to look? Because obviously, you don't know there is a supernova till you see it.
Right. That's your first indication that something is out there.
Mm-hmm.
So why have they been looking for specifically a supernova? Did somebody tell them a long time ago, well, there's a star blew up out there over right over here by these other stars, so be looking there.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, who told them 50 years ago, look for a supernova right there?
Interesting that it's 50 years ago.
Yeah.
50 years ago would be 10 years after Roswell, roughly 10 years.
Oh,
and
yeah,
so,
New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. And see, allegedly, the rumors are that there was at least one live ET
right.
That was a, quote, guest of our government.
Right, the J-Rod.
Yeah, and so maybe that's who told them.
Could be. If he came from that neck of the galaxy, I guess.
Hmm.
Anyhow, I just wanted, it's been a long time since I called in. I've started working nights. Usually I get up midway through the show and I listen to it and decide if I want to download it the next day. But somehow I'm hitting on the website enough that Tyler, Texas is still number 89 on your city's list.
Well, I appreciate the call. We're into a break and I got to run, but thanks so much.
All right.
1-800-289-1092. We'll be back. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artist from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. And take a picture to remember how it was, 'cause big dreams and beautiful faces.
Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
All right, we have roughly a little bit less than half an hour left. And I still have yet to hear from any of you how you would respond if NASA had come out and said, this is Planet X, and it's incoming. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. John in North Carolina. How you doing?
Doing great, John. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I noticed you're talking about this supernova. Now, New York Times has an article on it. It's such a long web address, you just have to go there and search it, I guess. But they say in this article that this thing is still expanding at the rate of something like 30 million miles an hour, or about 5% of the speed of light. And they say this is an unusual occurrence, and since March Mars has been warming up and our Earth has been warming up. I just wonder if this old supernova had anything to do with our climate change.
Well, it very well could. Now, we had a caller earlier in the show who pointed out that if this thing is incoming, it would have the appearance of expanding. It would have the appearance of getting larger as it gets closer.
Well, exactly. And they say that it's surrounded by dust and all, and that visual telescopes can't get a good look at it, so that's why they use X-ray technology and radio waves to photograph it, and it's just...
Well, did the New York Times article say how did NASA know to look for it?
No, it didn't mention anything about that.
Yeah, see, that's why I don't buy that it's a supernova.
Yeah, oh, that's me. And you look at, you've probably seen that same picture, that big round blue ball with fire around it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't look like a supernova. It looks like an object to me and a huge one.
Well, and NASA did say we're going to announce that about an object that we found that we've been looking for 50 years. Now, they said that.
It's just strange. I think NASA is operated by the DOD anyway, so there's no telling what we'll get from those folks.
Well, you know, it's interesting. If you read the wording of things that NASA puts out, it's very interesting. And I've mentioned this before, John. If you go to the NASA website, and they have a search box where you can search for certain topics on their website, and just type in UFO. Oh, you'll get a page that talks, it's NASA's official page on UFOs. And on that page, it says that astronauts have reported seeing anomalous objects while in space, and that these have been investigated by NASA and are not deemed by, this is a quote, not deemed by NASA to be abnormal in the space environment.
Well, what the heck is that supposed to mean?
Well, it means they're normal. Okay. So UFOs are normal in space.
Well, anyway, in this article, Kevin, it says Stephen T. Reynolds, he's a professor at of physics in the North Carolina State University, who led the Chandra study. Now, he makes this statement. It's doing things we have never seen before. And that's about all he had to say about it. But it's expanding and getting warmer and larger. So,
yeah, or it may be that it's just getting closer.
That's exactly right. Well, that's about all I had to add. Thank you, Kevin.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
I cut him off just a little bit too soon. I'm sorry about that, John. Thank you for the call. I'm not saying that it is Nibiru. This is just hypothetical. I just don't buy that it's a supernova. And I don't buy it because they said they had been looking for it for 50 years. How would you know to look? And how would you know where to look? I mean, you don't know there's a supernova until it happens, until you see it. When you see it, then you know there it is. And you're not looking for it, you're looking at it. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Tim, New Hampshire.
Hi, Tim.
Hold on a second, I'm pausing so that I don't hear the radio station here.
Yeah, you want to get me out of the background there.
All right.
Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am.
Well, let me play some applause for you.
The radio's coming back on. I'm on the internet.
Uh-huh.
He asked what we thought if we found out that we even, like, visited and stuff. The thing is that if we have been, NASA and the government spending all their money and all this stuff, all this time knowing this, yeah, that would probably make them, as even him, Kevin Smith has said, that we would chase them down the street in a lynch. I don't know where that saying comes from, but one of the presidents said that if they found out what we were doing, they would chase us down the street in a lynch mob. And the fact is, yeah, we would do that because we've been spending our money on NASA. We've been spending our money on SETI. We've been spending all our money on that. They could have been feeding America with that. And instead, they just want to act like it's some sort of joke or, you know, that none of this is real.
Well, that's one of the reasons that disclosure has been such a difficult subject. There are a lot of people who would have a lot to answer for if the truth came out.
I'm kind of angry about that because that's like, I mean, we're spending all this money that could be spent on Americans, could be spent here, and we got SETI, we got NASA, we got all this stuff, and if they're lying and it comes out, one of the presidents said, they quoted, that they would lynch us, they would follow us down the street and lynch.
I believe that was George Bush Sr.
Yeah, I believe it was too. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, it's a fact. That's exactly what would happen. I mean,
there will be a lot of angry people once disclosure actually happens. But the thing is, there's too much of the genie out of the bottle already. They can't put it back, and disclosure is on.
Why isn't it happening? I don't understand why it isn't happening.
Well,
no, I've never seen a UFO. I'm not a real big UFO believer. I love the program. You know, I'm a brand new listener.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a UFO believer either.
But the thing is, this is ridiculous. They're spending our money. They're spending our money on NASA. Hey, they even let rich people take a ride on a space shuttle, okay?
Yeah.
This is our money that they're spending. And then they're going to lie to us? I don't get it. I just don't understand it.
I don't understand it either, and a lot of people don't understand. And I think that is what officials fear, is that disclosure will disclose a lot of things they can't explain.
There are miscomings. The hell are the UFOs and all that? If the American people knew that something was real out here, you know, there was actually something going on, whether it be government abductions or whether it be any of that. And the thing is that we got NASA, we got radio wave thing, the SETI, we got all that. And if they were lying, yeah, I think it was George Bush Sr. that said it too, we would lynch them.
Well, I think there are a lot of folks that would agree with you and that would be very angry, and that is why they are so careful about disclosure.
I think that's it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's the truth. I don't think it's that they're worried that people are going to lose their religion or anything like that. I think the point of the matter is that they are going to get lynched because they lied to us all this time and they know it.
Yeah, could be. Hey, man, I appreciate the call. We got a break coming up.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks for the call.
Bye.
All right. Well, he points out something that is very valid. There are going to be some very, very angry people if disclosure were to happen like overnight. Just hold a press conference and just tell all the truth. I don't think that any government on the planet that has knowledge of UFOs could survive that. So it's not going to happen that way. It's just not going to happen that way. The way it will happen is the way we're seeing it happen now. I firmly believe, and I'm using the word believe, I want you to notice that. I can't prove this. I firmly believe that the whole thing with the Vatican statement represents a huge break in the dam. And we're going to see and hear a whole lot more in the very near future. We'll be back right after this. Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
Welcome back. We are on Final Approach. That means we just have a few minutes left. So if you've got a comment that you would like to make about this subject, now's the time to call. 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call. Now, I will say, even though I have resisted and resisted and resisted the idea of installing Skype so that people could call me from anywhere in the world, I've resisted that because Skype really does have some, there are some design flaws that make it a little bit dangerous for me to use it. But even though I've done that, I've resisted it. You folks have continued to talk about it, continued to ask me to do it. And so finally, I have installed Skype. I have not yet run any tests to see how we can use it in the broadcast. But I will tell you that I continually look for ways for you to contact us so that it doesn't cost you anything. And maybe we can get Skype to work satisfactorily. If we can, we'll use it. If not, we'll keep looking. Speaking of contacting me from elsewhere in the world, we have a flash message from London. And Steve says, if NASA came out and said that it was Planet X, I would probably still think they were lying. How could you ever trust what they say? Well, I think that Richard Hoagland is the one that gets the credit for saying NASA stands for Never a Straight Answer. I think that I could be wrong, but I think that comes from Richard Hoagland. I understand that frustration. I'm frustrated as well with the obfuscations of NASA. However, I also understand some of the dynamics against which they are working. And when I say against which they are working, I'm talking about there's some rather dynamic forces in play, sociologically and politically, that they have to deal with. And one of those is the question, how would people react? How would they respond if they said, okay, it's Planet X, and it's incoming? The next thing that would happen would be a flurry of press questions. What do you mean incoming? How close is it going to pass? Is it going to collide with us? How close is it going to come to us, and when is it going to be here? And what can we expect to happen to the Earth as it passes by? And then if they answer, and if they answer that truthfully, if it is Planet X and or Nibiru, and if it is going to pass by rather close, which apparently the Sumerians say it would, if that's the case, then the answers to the question, what's going to happen to the Earth, if those answers were, well, you know, about a third of the population is going to die. If that were the case, and that's purely hypothetical, I mean, it's not even that. I'm just saying, speculating, if that were the case. Do you understand that the firestorm NASA would set off by telling the truth would be as great as the firestorm set off by Nibiru? It would be, and they have to think about those things. They have to be careful in what they say and how they say it. But, you know, I think it's a real telltale sign that they said they were going to announce an object, and then they announced a supernova. And you can't be looking for a specific supernova for 50 years if you didn't already know it exists. If you already know it exists, you know because somebody saw it. And if they saw it, then they're looking at it, not looking for it. You see the point. There are just some things there in that story that don't gel. How would you respond if NASA had said, it's Planet X, it's incoming? How would you have responded? See, just my bringing that question up has some folks terrified. And you shouldn't be. You should not be terrified of it at all. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. It's Chip in Houston. Sorry.
Hi, Chip.
Hey, it's been a while, but I want to check on your Jerry Wills show.
Yeah.
They kind of cut off about 5/8 through. Could you possibly put that up as your free podcast?
It is the free, will be the free podcast.
Oh,
sure,
great.
Will.
Very interesting. I just got in from work and I just took a chance on calling in.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, bro.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right. The whole thing about human behavior is that we go from so cool, so suave, to panic-stricken knuckle-draggers over nothing. And, you know, I'm not saying that an incoming Planet X or Nibiru would be nothing, but just how they word things. As I said, some of you, just because I'm even discussing this, and we're just, it's total, complete speculation. But just because we're discussing it, some of you are terrified. Why? Why? If it, look, whatever is. Let's say that it is Nibiru. And let's say that they had announced nothing. So today we're sitting here not knowing anything at all about it. It doesn't change the fact. If it were Nibiru, that doesn't change the fact that it is incoming. If they never tell us, doesn't change the fact that it's incoming. What is, is. If it is Planet X, if it is incoming, then it is. And whatever will be, will be. And we will all find out at the same time. There's no reason to panic. There's no reason to be terrified of the present or of the future. What will be, will be. And we will all ride this globe. You know, my dad used to say this. My dad suffered several heart attacks, major heart attacks. And after his last heart attack, they sent him back home for a few days to await surgery, which I thought was bizarre. And then he went in for surgery and did not survive that surgery. But while he was at home, I visited him, and he was eating ice cream. And I said, "Dad, you know the doctor said you're not supposed to eat ice cream or anything dairy." And he said, "Son, you got to live till you don't." Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. You'll have to make it very quick because we're just about out of time.
Hi, Kevin. Yeah, I think if I was the government, some of the things I would do would be to start planning for urban combat for when some people do freak out. Then I would start trying to build places to keep them so that they don't affect the rest of us. That's just a couple of things that I thought of right up off the top of my head.
Okay, give us your first name and where are you calling from?
Julia from Austin, Texas.
Julia, is this your first time to call us?
No, it's not my third time.
Okay.
And I love your show, Kevin. I just love it.
Well, thank you. And let me tell you, there's indications that those things have been prepared for.
I'm not a bit surprised if what all this stuff has been going on all these years.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Kevin.
Bye-bye. All right, that's it. We're out of time. What a fascinating discussion we've had this evening, and thank you for being a part of it. Thank you for being here. Thank you for all of you who listened and who called and who sent flash messages. All right, my friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.